The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa, Jefferson State of Mind, broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading. And we are live today. You can hear us on 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, your talk radio, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever and ever. If you have a comment or a question about the subject matter today, you can call in at area code 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. And I am here with my producer, Christina. How are you, my dear?
Good morning. I'm doing wonderful as always.
Great. Sounds good.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to be home. Been gone for the last...
I miss you.
Oh, thank you. I missed you, too. Missed everybody out here. You know, it's good to be back. Lots of interesting things going on. A lot of our brothers and sisters in the southern counties are... Oh, I need to lift my microphone. I have been gone a while.
Looks like you missed the mic as well.
That's right. Anyway, a lot of our brothers and sisters down in Southern California, Ventura County, Los Angeles County, Orange County, Riverside County, you know, San Diego County, all those folks down there are really wanting liberty also, and they're tired of this extreme totalitarianism we have in the state of California with the monoparty we have and with the issues we have with our governor. Anyway, today we are awaiting a guest, and it is Mark Baird. Mark will be calling in. We're going to be talking about his Second Amendment court case, and we're pretty excited about that. There's an update on that. Again, why in the world do we even have a court case for the Second Amendment? Isn't that a right? But it seems to be a right that's different than any other right we have. That is, the government feels the impulse to restrict us on that right. And, you know, I don't know about everybody out there, but I'm just tired of the government overreaching and trying to take away our constitutionally protected rights. So I think with that, is Mark on the line, Christina?
No, unfortunately, the service get cut up. If Mark hears us right now, please can you call us back on the radio station? Thank you.
So with that, anyway, I'll talk a little bit about what happened down in Southern California. Went down there for 5 days, did 4 seminars. We talked about the Constitution, the understanding of that. We talked about jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification, which are probably the 3 most important words when it comes to government. Understanding who has the jurisdiction, understanding whom we elect that can interpose with that jurisdiction, and how they can stop or nullify bad law. Talking about bad law, and talking about what the law should be, and talking about the Constitution is my friend, Mark Baird. Mark, welcome.
Thanks for having me on, Terry. How are you doing today?
Doing good. So,
good.
Pretty excited about hearing what's going on today. Love to hear what's going on now with your Second Amendment court case. I know there's been some updates and those types of things, so go ahead, sir.
Well, we had an unfavorable decision out of Judge Mueller, go figure. In the summary judgment, she sided with the state in every single aspect of it that's possible. It's interesting to me that a judge who is supposed to compare two cases and then decide which case has more merit could absolutely ignore all of the evidence that one side presents, only cite the evidence that the other side presents, and claim to be impartial. I mean, just for example, the state had this expert witness. His name was Rainey. He was the chief of police in Costa Mesa, California, back in the 90s and early 2000s. And he said that our attorney asked him under oath, are you familiar with the Second Amendment? Oh, yes, I'm familiar with the Second Amendment, he says. And she said, well, can you tell me what it says? Well, I can't quote it, verbatim, but, I think it says something like you can get a gun and you can keep it at home. And so here's an expert witness that doesn't even know what the Second Amendment says. And she used his testimony, but failed to use the testimony of an expert witness. Oh, also, Rainey was not a cop in a jurisdiction that had loaded open carry, because that was before his time. But he was chief of police for a short period of time when open carry of an unloaded weapon was lawful. And he said that he never had any trouble with open carry. He never had any problems with people that did it. They never caused any trouble. It didn't break the law. In fact, he stated that he never knew of anyone in any jurisdiction that had problems with open carry, but the judge did not cite that fact from her expert, from her, meaning the state, because she works for the state of California, expert witness. However, our expert witness, Chuck Haggard, had 30 years of being a peace officer in Kansas, and when Kansas went from no carry at all to permitted concealed carry only, to constitutional carry, and he said that the change didn't spike any uptick in crime whatsoever. The gutters were not running red with blood. People were not shooting each other over parking places. In fact, he said, quite frankly, it was very unremarkable, and he didn't really even notice any change. His police officers were not afraid because they were well-trained. They were trained to know what a gun was and who carried them and why people carried them. And so they didn't have any problems with that. And yet she never quoted his evidence at all. She used historians that submitted something like 1,190 pages of documents talking about everything from safe storage of gunpowder to keeping armed gangs of men, regulating armed gangs of men going around with clubs and torches in order to promote riots. And she said, well, that was the reason why California could ban the carry of weapons, because they did at one time ban armed gangs of men from running around with clubs and knives and torches inciting riots, so therefore we can stop you from defending yourself and your family. I mean, the judgment was, quite frankly, so ludicrous and so disingenuous that Judge Mueller defied her own standing orders in that she allowed the state to submit 1,200 pages of evidence after the trial had officially closed, and she used that evidence. She defied the Ninth Circuit, who ordered her to evaluate the case on the Bruin standard, which she did not do. They ordered her to revisit the denial of the preliminary injunction based on the fact that she never looked at our likelihood of success on the merits. She defied that. She defied the Supreme Court in Bruin, Heller, McDonald, Satano, Cruikshank, and a multitude, Nunn versus Georgia, a multitude of other cases, and just came up with this torturously circular logic where she, in the end, said that even though in antebellum America, black people were banned from the carriage of weapons, and that was repugnant to the Constitution because it was overtly discriminatory, it was proof that states could regulate people who they didn't want to carry, and so we can do that now.
Wow.
And that singular, that singular point was rejected by the Supreme Court in two or three cases explicitly. She quoted fire safety laws where you could ban people from storing large amounts of gunpowder in their house in New York in 1800 because it would start a fire. And she said, well, you could ban gunpowder. That means we can ban guns now. And then the state came up with this new piece of reasoning that they would like to use in future cases and probably will use now that they think they've done it successfully in this case, that since early American law was more stringent than California law, California's laws should be considered constitutional. But yet she does not cite, nor did the state cite, one single example of any law that was more stringent about banning the carry of weapons in 1791 than California used now. They didn't have one single example, but they said it was true. And so she said, well, if they said it was true, it must be true. And our contention was, and this is on the record in the hearing, because the judge herself asked the state's attorney whether she could cite one single example of a law that compelled people in the founding era to request permission of the government prior to peacefully carrying a weapon for the sole purpose of self-defense. And the state's attorney said, no, Your Honor, I can't, because there were none. So that single statement should have won us the case. And remember, under Bruin, it is the sole responsibility and burden of the government to prove that the law that they hope to press, in this case, the ban on the open carry of loaded weapons by lawful citizens, is analogous to laws in 1791. And they not only could not prove that, they did not prove it, not with one single example. They had two examples of banning open carry. One was in a township in Oklahoma in 1874, and that historical analog was expressly rejected by the Supreme Court as being too far outside the founding era, one, and number two, to be of such a limited scope that it could not possibly have impacted the thinking of the founding fathers at large, nor the people of the United States at large. The one town bans the open carry of weapons doesn't mean that everybody in every state would want to do that. And then she cited the case Nunn versus Georgia, where the state of Georgia banned the open carry of loaded weapons, and that law was overturned by the Georgia Supreme Court as being repugnant to the Constitution. So even though the Georgia legislature may have passed that law, the Georgia court said, no, you can't do that. You can restrict concealed carry. You can ban concealed carry, but you cannot ban open carry. And that was what the Georgia Supreme Court said about their own law. So that historical example, was rejected at the time in the court of the state that passed the law. But she cited that, their historian cited that example, and she actually used it. Well, you can ban open carry because Georgia did it. But she failed to finish the sentence that the law was overturned later in Georgia.
Yeah, it's one thing after another.
Well, it's about 75 pages that make you so angry you have a hard time even reading it.
I guess the question is how and when can you get it out of her hands? Because there seems to be this...
Well, it is out of her hands now.
Okay, so go ahead. So where is it now?
So right now it's sitting there as an opinion, a signed opinion by Judge Kimberly Mueller in the Circuit Court of California for the Eastern District, the federal court. And now we are waiting to file our notice of intent to appeal, and we have to do that by the end of January, which we fully intend, of course, to do. And here is the avenue to winning the case. If, as we think, legally, the case will be returned to the Ninth Circuit, to the same panel that ordered Judge Mueller to revisit the preliminary injunction and to stop being a Democratic hack
that'd be good.
In the employ of the state of California.
Yeah.
then we will win the case in a unanimous decision, just like we did before. We appealed the denial of the preliminary injunction because the judge refused to follow the law. They ordered her to follow the law. She ignored their order. So if we get back to that panel, then we'll get a unanimous decision in favor of liberty for sure.
Why wouldn't you get back to that? Why wouldn't you get back to that panel? Number one, what would be the thing that would stop you from getting back to that panel? Number one, and number two, do they have a way they would make the decision of whether or not you win or not, or would that still have to go back to Mueller again? Go ahead.
No, it would not go back to Mueller at this point. She is finished with the case for all intents and purposes. Now, we would go to the Ninth Circuit. Now, here's the Ninth Circuit, and remember, I want everybody to understand this, and this isn't a joke, and I'm not being facetious, and I'm not exaggerating this point, not in any way, shape, or form. I want the people that listen to this program to understand this in no uncertain terms. It is courts and judges that steal your liberty every single day. In their actions, in their inactions, in their omissions, in their acts of commission, in their negligence, in their collusion with courts that haven't been briefed on the case, backroom conversations, backroom deals with lawyers, and I could cite 100 examples of this. The court and the police state under which we live now, and we do live in a police state, and if you doubt that, ask your neighbor how he lost his business during the Wuhan. I'll tell you how we lost our business during the Wuhan, because the governor of California lied and shut down all small business in California. You couldn't go to a hardware store, but you could go to a titty bar. You couldn't go to church, but you could go to Walmart. I mean, that's the police state that we live in now. You can't have a gasoline lawnmower in California anymore. You have to have an electric lawnmower, things like that. Well, the courts work for the state. The federal court in California, the Ninth Circuit Court, literally works for the state. They're not arbiters of liberty anymore, and don't kid yourself. If we gain liberty, it's because we took it, not because they adjudicated lawfully and fairly. That's just not part of their thought process anymore. In this nation in general, much less in the Ninth Circuit. But what we have now is a case that is open to appeal. There are two paths this could take. As a take-back case, in other words, this three-judge panel that ruled against Mueller would be the logical panel for this case to go back to because they've already been briefed on the case, they've already read the paperwork, and in the Southern District there are many, many examples of Judge Benitez getting cases back that were kicked down from the Ninth Circuit when any federal judge who was qualified could have been given that case, and they call that a take back. So we're confident that if we do not file, and this is the interesting part of it, if we do not file an expedited appeal, then normally our case would be handed back to the same three-judge panel that's already read it once.
Which would be good.
Yes. Oh, it would be excellent.
It would be great.
If we file an expedited appeal, in other words, we want to appeal now as quickly as possible, then our case would probably be handed to a three-judge panel out of the normal rotation or however they backroom deal that thing, and the odds of us getting a conservative majority on that panel would be small.
How long would it be before you would know the answer to that question if it's not expedited? Were you saying that it would be... how long would it be? How long can this take? Go ahead.
Well, before we're awarded the panel,
awarded the panel, yes.
I don't think it's not going to be years. It would probably be months. But we want to take that route because we have more of a guarantee of getting the panel with which we could win this case.
Right, absolutely.
Now, once we win the case at the Ninth Circuit level, can anyone in the audience guess what's going to happen? The en banc panel will immediately grab the case. They've already tried to grab this case once. When we appealed the denial of the preliminary injunction to the Ninth Circuit, the en banc panel, which means a panel of 13 out of 31 judges in the Ninth Circuit, hear the case in total, all of them together, and then they vote on whether you win or not. And in Second Amendment cases, the Second Amendment has lost in about 55 out of the last 55 en banc panel reviews. The Ninth Circuit does not side in favor of the Second Amendment, and they haven't for better than 50 years now. So if we go to the en banc, which we will, then they will overturn the ruling of the three-judge panel. But what we would have is two unanimous decisions in our favor from the Ninth Circuit with which to file cert with the Supreme Court, and there we would win.
Are you looking at? I mean, you know, there's a couple things here. I have a couple questions about things. And that is that, you know, we know that the judges are corrupt. We know that the courts are corrupt. Yet we continually go to the court because it's our only avenue to do anything. So where you are now, even if the en banc panel does overturn it, and I would imagine there's 13 because there's 13 different states that's involved with the Ninth Circuit. Is that
no?
Why is it 13?
In most circuits, it's all of the judges, but because the Ninth Circuit is so big and
right.
has so many judges,
right.
they voted to only use 13
gotcha.
Or 14
okay.
judges.
Okay, got it. Okay,
that's an arbitrary figure that they
understand
they chose themselves.
Got
yeah.
it. Okay, so if that's the case, then you know we're looking at now sort of a it's sort of a wait and see on as far as the case goes. From what you're saying, it's a wait and see. What happens next, and there's really not... What do you do in preparation during this waiting period, which could be a few months? What is it that you do in that time?
Well, during that time, the attorney, for several hundred dollars an hour, goes through Judge Mueller's ruling with a microscope and picks out every single misstep, every single misprocedure, every single violation of court rule, rules of evidence, rules of procedure. Because here's how an appeal works. All of the facts are entered into evidence. You cannot enter new evidence into the case in an appellate court. You can only ask for relief because of breach of procedure, violation of court law, violation of rules of procedure, rules of evidence, so on and so forth. But Mueller has been so egregious in that she violated her own circuit court's order in total. I mean, she didn't do anything they told her to do, that she literally... with her judgment, wrote the appeal for us. But we still have to discover we cannot miss one single point. Out of her 70-plus pages of babble, my attorney has got to go through and pick out every single cherry in there, and there are a lot of them, and then write it up into a coherent ask for an appeal, inquiry for appeal, and then we have to file that. So there's a lot of work to be done, and I help with that because I read the paper and I interject and I do research on law and case history and so on, case law and precedent and so on and so forth, and contribute to that effort. And it is extremely time consuming and very expensive.
Okay, well, what we're going to do, since you have a moment there to where we can go back to this subject, of course, but we're going to take our break now. And we'll take a break, and we'll have Mark Baird on the other side. Very, very interesting stuff, and just another example on our totalitarian situation we have here in the state of California. And before we get done with this program, Mark is going to discuss what he believes is the solution to a lot of this stuff. Okay, so with that, time has come for 51. Christina, let's get it done.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Reading Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
As a thank you for your outstanding service, Wind River Resort and Casino would like to honor you with our Military Monday promotion. Join us every Monday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to receive your dining discounts and free slot play. Active or retired military members can present their military ID at the River Club to be entered into this weekly promotion. For more details, download the Wind River app or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
You feel like a candle in a hurricane, just like a picture with a broken frame, alone and helpless, like you've lost your fight, but you'll be alright, you'll be alright. 'Cause when push comes to shove, you taste what you're made of. You might bend, you do break. Oh, it's all you can take. On your knees, you look up. Despite you've had enough, you get mad, you get strong.
Great song, Sally Lou. Not a girl. Great song, honey. Well, we're back here at KCNR Studios on Jefferson State of Mind. Listening to Mark Baird, and Mark is fighting for our constitutionally protected right of the Second Amendment in the totalitarian government of California. Mark's going to need help, folks. He needs help with money to keep this case going. Attorneys aren't free. This man has taken thousands of dollars out of his own pocket to fight for our liberty. If you want to donate something to Mark to help him, you can send it to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, located at 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B. That's Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, as in boy. You make the checkout to Pecan, and in the memo, please put 2A. 2A. That way it goes to the proper place it needs to go to. Again, we'll announce this again before we go, but this isn't free. You know, one thing I have to say about Mark Baird is he put his money where his mouth is. He's put his time, his money, along with working full-time as a pilot, and all these different things that we've got going on in this state. If we don't protect the Second Amendment, we're toast. That goes for our country. So with that, Mark, I think that one of the things we have to be looking at here is if this thing looks like it's probably going to go to the Supreme Court case, to become a Supreme Court case. Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Well, it may. I mean, the odds are that it probably will. However, if the state of California would kind of wake up, and if the Ninth Circuit Court would kind of wake up and pull their head out of the proverbial sand, they might realize that if we win at the three-judge level, which there's a good chance that we will, that it only affects two states. But if they lose at the Supreme Court level, everybody has constitutional carry in every single state. And so even Democrats have to realize when they're handed a losing hand every once in a while, they should just take the loss, because it will impact fewer of their communist buddies on the East Coast than they would like to see. And look, a lot of the money to the Democratic Party comes out of the East Coast. A lot of it comes from California, but they have to realize that if a loss in the Ninth Circuit, as far as constitutional carry goes, only affects basically California and Hawaii. But if we go to the Supreme Court and we win again in the Supreme Court, and it's very likely that we would with the judge makeup, and in addition to that, the Supreme Court has got to be getting tired of the Ninth Circuit ignoring Supreme Court directive time and time and time again and playing this drag your feet game where they delay these Second Amendment cases ad infinitum. They've got to be getting tired of being insulted and essentially shown the middle finger by the Ninth Circuit. And they're liable to rule in a very, very strong fashion, which would guarantee constitutional Second Amendment rights for everybody in this nation.
Who has jurisdiction? So, who has jurisdiction over the Ninth Circuit when it comes to their apportionment of their power? Who has jurisdiction over that?
I believe it's Kagan or Sotomayor. So okay. You can't every circuit court, that's a good point, has a Supreme Court justice that oversees it. If this case is taken from the three-judge panel, and if the Ninth Circuit en banc tries to intervene in Second Amendment cases, and remember, en banc activity is usually reserved for less than well under 1% of the cases in any district appellate court. But in California, every single Second Amendment case in which the Second Amendment prevails is taken to the en banc court. Every single one, and they're struck down in the en banc court. Well, the Supreme Court's got to be getting tired of that. And they're liable to slap this court down in a manner that gives freedom and liberty to everybody in the United States if we win. This is a lot bigger than it first appears on the surface. And we're hopeful that we can restore some liberty because it will give people an opportunity to see what they could have if we simply stand up for ourselves. And that's something we haven't been doing for a very long time in this country.
Yeah, we keep talking about we the people, yet people don't understand what that means. And when you read the 10th Amendment, we know that all power not delegated to the federal government is reserved to the states and the people. Well, if you can't delegate something if you're a lower power from the federal government, you can only delegate as a higher power, and you certainly can't delegate even as an equal power. And reserve means ownership of the thing, and we own our government. We own it. And getting back to the word delegate, that means delegating. That means that we are giving temporary responsibility over a thing that we give to the government. And frankly, the state of California has overreached so many times. I'll just come out and ask you straight up. What do you believe is the solution, the total solution, bar none, of fixing the state?
Well, there's only one answer to that. The horse is so far gone from the barn, and the barn door's been closed for so long. We only have one chance, because we have a constitution in California that the state refuses to follow. We have a state legislature that ignores the law, ignores the constitution, ignores its own constitution, ignores its own rules, ignores the people, ignores everything about that to do whatever they want, whenever they want. They always vote for one another's stupid bills because they don't want to be voted down when their stupid bill comes to light. There's only one answer to that, and that's break away and form a state, or break this state into smaller governmental entities where the representatives are afraid not to vote the people's wishes. And Thomas Paine said this in a little pamphlet he wrote during the Revolutionary War, oddly enough called Common Sense. And he said that the first legislature should be held under the branches of a big oak tree. Everybody shows up and they say what they want and they vote on it. But as the colonies grow in size and in number, that representation must also grow for a couple of reasons. Number one, so that all parts of the colony is adequately represented. That's one. So regions must have representation too, is what he was saying, because we have different wants and different needs than other regions of the state do. And number two, and this is the most important part, Thomas said that representation must continue to grow with the size of the colony or the state in this case, so that those we elect are never able to form a separate agenda from the people who elect them. And what we have now, for example, we have a state senator that represents, 11 counties. We have a state assemblyman that represents 500,000 people spread over 9-10 counties, and they don't represent us. They don't know who we are. They don't know what we want. They don't care. And you can't make them care, because you and your friends and what you want in your small community don't represent enough political power to keep them from being reelected. And 97% of the time in California, the incumbent's always reelected, because it's all about the money and who has the money, and it has nothing to do with the will of the people or what the people need or want. Let me give you an example of that. The governor is about to give free health care to illegal aliens to the tune of $30 billion when we're $60 billion in the hole with a budget shortfall. But on the other hand, he only spends $2 billion on veterans. Well, how many illegal aliens are veterans of the United States military? I would bet you the number is very small. But veterans of the U.S. military are 99.9% of the time citizens of this state and this nation, and deserve to have taxpayer dollars allocated to their needs, just like all the rest of the lawful citizens of the state of California. I mean, is our tax money to go to people who broke the law to get here? Or should it be used for the people's benefit who pay the taxes and live here legally? I mean, these things are just so ridiculous. They defy description, and yet the governor does it all day, every day. The governor swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution, but he calls the Second Amendment a suicide pact. So he obviously doesn't support that part of the Constitution. And while we're on that, what part of the Constitution do most of them hate? Which part of it? I would submit to you that it's not the part where the president serves for 4 years. It's not the part where senators serve for 6 years and assembly and representatives serve for two.
Right.
It's not the part where we have a Supreme Court and lower courts. They don't object to that part at all. They object to the only part where you get something, and that's the Bill of Rights. They hate the Bill of Rights with every fiber in their being, because people have power guaranteed by the God that made us all. Before government was ever formed, we have the right to do or not to do certain things. And the Bill of Rights are called negative rights for a reason. Congress shall make no law. The right of the people shall not be infringed. People cannot be compelled to. So all of these rights are negative rights, and they limit the ability of government to act. And yet government ignores those rights all the time. The judge laughed when we said that the Second Amendment was a pre-governmental right. She has no ability and no comprehension to understand the fact that human beings have an inherent natural right to defend themselves and their families. All animals have that. I mean, can you think of a cat that if a dog was coming to get her puppy or her kittens, she wouldn't defend them with claws and fangs and everything she has? Well, what if the government passed a law? Well, you can't defend yourself with fangs. You can only use a baseball bat, kitty. I mean, how would that go over? Cats can't hold a baseball bat.
Yeah, it's really something.
On
again,
the other hand,
you know,
we don't have claws and fangs.
Right.
How can we defend ourselves with weapons that we possess naturally?
Right.
We use tools to defend ourselves.
Right.
And as the Supreme Court said in Heller, the pistol is the quintessential choice of all Americans for self-defense.
We do have a caller.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, we have a caller, and you know, to your point, I think the thing is that a lot of people, when they look at the Constitution, they always say we have constitutional rights. We don't have constitutional rights. We have God-given rights protected by the Constitution. The Constitution binds the government. It doesn't bind the people. It doesn't really give them anything. It binds the government. So with that, we have Siskiyou Steve on the line. What do you say, sir? How are you?
Is this, hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'd just like to remind the people again that the counties run the state, the cities run the county. That's one way we take our state back. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, we, you know, it'd be nice that the county should run, but, you know, that constitution we have in California gives us some latitude. That's why we're pushing for basically a charter county. That's a whole different story, but, you know, we do have the right as far as the people. That's where we have the right, the God-given right. So anyway, Mark, you were on a thought there, and a very good one, about discussing how, I mean, we have to have some way to protect ourselves. We don't have fangs. Well, we don't have claws. Go ahead.
Well, what we do have, and when you look at the situation that we're in now,
right.
Ask yourself a question. Did government come here and then get people to come so that they could rule over them? No, they didn't. People came here first, and we formed government in order to secure the liberty we hold most dear, and I can prove that right now. The preamble to the California Constitution says, "We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom." So where did our freedoms come from again? Almighty God. That's legal proof, whether you believe it or not. That is the meeting of the minds. That is the contract that formed the state of California. We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom. In order to secure its blessings, we formed this Constitution. So we formed the government of the state of California because that's what Constitution does. It lays out the framework for the government, the names, the titles, how long they stay there, how they get paid, how bills are passed. That's what the Constitution does. It creates the government. Well, people created that government, and we created it to secure the liberty that God gave us. And the Declaration of Independence says the same thing about inalienable rights.
Right.
And so we have to say that for a judge to laugh at the fact that we have God-given free governmental rights tells me that we live in a police state, because they don't believe that. They don't believe it. They don't act on it. They act as though they give you permission, and I can prove that too, because the judge in this case says, well, since California can allow you to concealed carry, they don't have to allow you to openly carry. The judge also says that the Second Amendment doesn't compel states to allow open carry. Well, she has a very stilted and stunted view of what liberty is and what the Constitution means and what the Declaration of Independence says. Because they very clearly go against everything that she believes and everything that she says. We came first. We have rights. Government has to respect those rights because they're above government's ability to change. But government doesn't think so, and they have most of the guns, and they have all the power, and people are afraid of government, so they submit.
We let the government do it. You're right, because they don't understand we the people. I mean, the power is not delegated. I mean, duh. You know, and I think that's a lot of it. I mean, words mean something, and I think that's been a lot of the issue we've had, even when you look at some of the pundits on, Fox News, et cetera. Everybody's federal, 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 you know. Even if and when, I pray, Donald Trump does get elected, because I'm a Trump guy. If Trump gets elected and we have that happen, we still have Gavin Newsom, folks. And Gavin Newsom and the state representative body, 62 Democrats and 18 Republicans in the Assembly, but really it's 66 to 14, because four of those Republicans vote with the Democrats, and 32 Democrats and 8 Republicans in the Senate, and the spawn of Satan as our governor, they still have jurisdiction over us. The president really can't help us in a lot of ways. He can help us in some ways, but we still have to deal with the state. And that's why I agree with Mark Baird. I think he's 100% right. There is no other way but creating apportionment and breaking this state up into several states. So, Mark, we've got about 8 more minutes to go here. I want you to kind of bring us home on this, because I think that we're getting short on time when it comes to fighting for our liberty. And we really have to understand the power that we have.
Well, what I'd like people to do is, first of all, mark this date on your calendar. We haven't firmed up the venue yet. But on March the 2nd, we're having a fundraiser dinner in Wairika to support the case, and we really need this, folks. I'm behind the bills by about $10,000 already, so I need to fund the appellate challenge to this tyrant who calls herself a federal judge. March 2nd in Wairika, California. I'll have the details by next Sunday, and I'll announce the details with Terry next Sunday of where the dinner will be and how to get tickets and so on and so forth. But please, if you can donate something to the cause that we can auction off or raffle off, please get a hold of Terry or get a hold of myself. Terry knows my number, and you can announce my number on the air if you want to, Terry. And if you can just come to the dinner and participate, that'd be great. If you want to make a contribution, Terry gave you the address, 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Redding, California, Suite B. And I think the zip is 96037. Is that
no, correct? It's 96003.
96003. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And make sure when you write the check out, you write it out to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N. And in the memo, you put 2A.
Now, we are trying to get a give, send, go button put on the website to keep and bear. But as happens so often with conservative causes, someone has attacked our website, and it's down right now. But the webmaster is trying to get the website back up. We're going to have a button on the website where you can go there and just contribute through give, send, go. The money will go straight to Pecan. I don't touch the money. I don't even know how much we have on any given day. 100% of it goes to pay the lawyer. I think we spend $10 a month on bookkeeping, and that's about it. But if you understand and realize that you created the government and that there are certain truths that you hold to be self-evident, they need no explanation. They weren't given to you in a paper. They weren't written down anywhere except in your heart by the God that gave you life, that all men are created equal, that they were endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And one of the natural rights that John Adams declared, that Samuel Adams declared, that Montesquieu and Cesare Beccaria and Marcus Cicero and so many other people declared to be the natural right, the first of those is self-defense. If you have no right to protect your life, what do you really have a right to do?
Yep.
If government can take your life and take your right away to protect yourself and your family, what right really would they protect? They certainly don't care about your right to hang on your own money or the ability to protect your property or the ability to maintain your privacy or your security or your safety or control over your papers and your personal effects. They don't care about that. They arrest good people and they let evil people go all the time. The Second Amendment is the right that protects all the rest. And in California, you do not have that right, and the federal court just declared it. Because in San Diego v. Peruta, the court declared that concealed carry is not a right. State can do anything they want with that right. They can ban it, restrict it, charge you millions of dollars for it, not give it to you at all. That is case law in the Ninth Circuit. Well, this circuit court just declared that you don't have the right to openly carry either. So that means that you don't have a Second Amendment right in the state of California. There ought to be some things that you can do without having to ask permission, don't you think? I mean,
well, not only that, but it's a right. It's not a privilege. It's not permission. It's a right. And again, to me, it's so egregious. I mean, there's what, like 35 states that have open carry without restriction, and something like 29 that are constitutional carry states.
There are 27 states.
27,
okay. Carry, and maybe two more this year for a total of 29.
Yeah.
There are a total of 45 states that have some form of open carry, and only five that have none.
Wow.
And there are a couple of states that have no Second Amendment at all, and California is one of them.
Yeah, you know,
and SB2 coming, and more coming out of the legislature every single day.
Yep.
I can tell you, if you don't know that they hate you and hate your liberty, and the only thing they want from you is your money, then you're a fool. And we have one answer to that. Let's break this state up, and let's form a state with a constitution that's very difficult, if not impossible, to change, and with accountability to legislators and governmental officials when they violate the constitution. And I, you know, it is irrelevant what you call it. I like the state of Jefferson, but it doesn't matter what we call it. The point is, we need to take our liberty back from the people who have stolen it from us and continue to steal it from us every day. And if we don't, we already live in a police state. If we don't do this, then shame on us all, because our children will grow up in a world that even you wouldn't recognize.
It's already happening that way, my friend. Believe me, these laws that they're passing with the schools and the things that they're doing to our children is absolutely atrocious. I think that's why there's been such a movement of people wanting to understand their liberty and wanting to understand the Constitution, wanting to take back their state and their country, of these young people that have families. And I know that a lot of this that we've been talking about today are things that, you know, we kind of think, gee, everybody should know this stuff, but they really don't.
They don't. You're right. And Joe Stalin said, I don't want you, I want your children. And there was a German philosopher in the 1700s that said, give me two generations of your children's education, and I will have them saying snow is black and up is down.
Yeah.
He's right.
Yep. So with that, folks, I think that we need to really understand that if we don't protect the Second Amendment, it protects all of them. And it arguably could be the most important thing that we're doing right now. So, Mark, we have about 3 minutes to go, buddy. You want to bring us home?
Well, once again, I default to the California Constitution and the Constitution of the United States, and both of those guarantee the people pre-governmental rights. The Supreme Court guarantees the people the pre-governmental right to self-defense. They've done it in 3 or 4 or 5 cases now. The federal courts are beginning to be pulled into compliance. But if I cannot pay for this case, I cannot win. I hate asking everybody for money yet again. But if you want your rights back, this is the only case on the radar. There are a lot of cases about what kind of gun you can carry, when you can carry it, how big the magazine is. But who cares if you're not allowed to leave your house with it? I'm trying to restore a right. And by the way, the court says that we've never had unrestricted rights. Well, we sure as hell did in California up until 1968, because it was completely legal, totally unremarkable, for you to strap on a pistol and leave your house openly carrying a loaded weapon in California from before California was a state up until 1968 for loaded guns and 2012 for unloaded guns. So up until about 10 years ago, you could openly carry a weapon in the state of California, and that makes this judge and this court a liar. And if we don't do something about it, no one will. And your rights will die quietly in the night, and you will wake up a slave in the country that your fathers died to create for you. And that would be a shame and wrong.
And again, if you want to help Mark, which I believe we all should,
save the date, March 2nd. March 2nd for the fundraiser dinner. Please
right.
come if you can.
And those of you that aren't in the area, you can mail a check to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N, 14421, Old Oregon Trail, Suite B as in boy, 96003. You can make the check out to Pecan, put 2A in the memo. Please put 2A in the memo. And also, Mark, I believe you're going to be on the next program, Sovereign Minds. You're going to be on there expounding on more of these things that have been going on. But both the people who do Sovereign Minds, Mark and Linda Kent, and myself, believe that we wanted to give Mark as much time as possible, because we have to start looking at the gravity of what this state is trying to do with us. So, Mark, my good friend, we're winding down here, and I just wanted to let you know that time has really come for 51.
Amen.
Let's get it done.
Hey, not our bill. We had no say.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.